Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Stu does America.
Check us out on YouTube. Go ahead, follow the channel. Do all the stuff that you're going to do with it. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Get your official Stu Does America merch at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code STU10 for 10% off your entire order. Are gas-powered cars coming back into fashion? Who would have thought? Lauren Fix is here to talk about the state of the EV industry. There seems to be trouble in paradise between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. We'll look at the latest in their beleaguered bromance. But we start by doing KJP versus the Democrats. Yes. I mean, I will say, really was hoping Joe Biden would not get reelected. Certainly hoping Kamala Harris would not be president of the United States. And most of the results from that, of course, are positive, right? You don't have to deal with them anymore. But I was a little bit upset that I wouldn't be seeing any more Karine Jean-Pierre, because she's one of my favorite people to talk about. She's such an idiot. And I love when morons get jobs like this that are really, really public and have powerful control of things. And then we get to sit here and make fun of them every single day. What else am I going to fill the show with, right? Like, I mean, I just got to sit here and make fun of people. It's why I love Jasmine Crockett so much, right? Like, she's a new flavor of stupid that she's bringing to the table. And I love that. So let's go through the latest developments, because honestly, I could sit here and read one of these articles to you word for word, and it would not bore me at all. And I've already read it like three times, but I could still keep going on it. Karine Jean-Pierre leaves Democratic Party and pens book about broken White House. Jean-Pierre, who was criticized for being evasive about Biden's health. Can we pause right there for 1 second? By whom? Who was she criticized? Who was criticizing her for this? I remember we were. I remember people on the Blaze were. I remember people on the right were. I don't remember the Washington Post doing all too much of that. I don't remember mainstream media doing too much of that. I don't remember Democrats doing too much of that. I remember her being the chosen child. Oh, what a dream she is. Did you know she's black? Did you know she's a woman? Did you know she's a lesbian? Oh my gosh, I love her so. That's what I remember. But apparently she was criticized. I mean, yes, by Stu Does America. Where else? Jean-Pierre, who was criticized for being evasive about Biden's health while at the White House lectern, previously signaled how she feels about his exit from the 2024 race. Speaking at Harvard Kennedy School of Politics in February, Jean-Pierre says the toughest thing to see in the 3 weeks between the president's halting debate performance and dropping out of the race was the firing squad from fellow Democrats. Yes, they actually got a little bit of pushback from Democrats in that period. I had never seen a party do that in the way that they did. It was hurtful and sad to see that happening. A firing squad around a person who I believed was a true patriot. So, got that? She was worried that Democrats did not back the Democrat. That was her complaint. Keep that, just store that in the back of your mind. I'd say to Karine Jean-Pierre to store it, but I don't think there's any storage. You know, there's anything up there. This is the cover of the book. It's available all the way in October, by the way, October 21st, 2025. It's called Independent, A Look Inside a Broken White House Outside the Party Lines. And I will say, like, you see outside a broken White House, what does that mean? Right? Like, it kind of seems like a Jake Tapper book type of take, right? She's going to be critical. I don't think that's what's going on here exactly. Let's get into it. Our country has become obsessed with blind loyalty to a two-party democratic system. Now, I want to stop for a second. Remember that thing I asked you to put in the back of your mind and store and said that Karine Jean-Pierre couldn't store because she doesn't have any storage? Remember that from like 30 seconds ago? Her initial complaint was that Democrats didn't rally around the Democrat, that the Democrats turned on the Democrat, right? She was worried that they did not hold the party line, right? They all could have just said, actually, it was fine. Actually, he won. Some people tried to do that, but generally speaking, the Democrats said, that performance was so bad, we have to say something. That was their reaction. They didn't hold the party line. Her reasoning for writing the book a few weeks later is, our country has been obsessed with a blind loyalty to a two-party democratic system. In her new book, timed for publication just 1 year after the election, Karine Jean-Pierre shares why Americans must begin to look beyond party lines and why she chose to embrace life as an independent. It's hard to describe how stupid a position that is. Her big complaint is not like, oh gosh, this was a broken White House and we were really terrible and everything was wrong with us. And, you know, everyone was just huddling around the president defending his health. And therefore, like, those party lines hurt the country. No, it's that the party lines didn't hold well enough and that the Democrats didn't defend us when we got in trouble after the debate, after we were hiding his cognitive decline to everyone. It's a bizarre take. Let me give you a little bit more of her blather. Since I left the White House on my final day, the White House press secretary this past January, rarely a day goes by that I'm not stopped in the supermarket, at my daughter's school, at the bank, or in an airport, or in my neighborhood to be asked for my perspective, opinion, or insight about the state of our country and what we must do to preserve our democracy, says Jean-Pierre. I gotta tell you, that's not true. Okay? There's no one in the world who cares about her opinion about anything. Nobody. Not one single person has ever come up to her in any circumstance and said, what are we going to do with our country? Woman who read every answer that she provided for 2 years? What do you think? Huh, I don't know. Until January 20th, she says, I was responsible for speaking on behalf of the president of the United States. But at noon that day, I became a private citizen who, like all Americans and many of our allies around the world, had to contend with what was to come next for our country. I determined that the danger we face as a country requires freeing ourselves of boxes. I mean, this is like awful 2003 corporate speak. Like, how could anybody find this interesting? She's going to talk about synergy next. We need to be willing to exercise the ability to think creatively and plan strategically. We need to be clear-eyed and questioning rather than blindly loyal and obedient as we have been in the past. And freeing ourselves of these boxes is truly at the heart and soul of my new book, Independent. Again, her reasoning is bizarre here. We need to be clear-eyed and questioning rather than blindly loyal and obedient to the party system. I mean, that could be an interesting book from someone. Like, there could be a person who was a Republican and was like, you know what, I don't like, you know, what Congress is doing or Donald Trump is doing, and I'm going to become an independent. All right, like, maybe there's some interest there. I'm a Democrat. I don't like what Chuck Schumer's doing or Joe Biden did or Karine Jean-Pierre said, and I'm going to become an independent. Okay, there might be something there. Not from the person whose main complaint about the Democrats is they didn't rally around the Democratic president. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. And you can just tell, like, it's just this blather. What I just read to you meant nothing. It was a giant zilch of a couple of paragraphs and probably just churned straight out from ChatGPT or one of their worst competitors. I don't think Grok would give you that shill. Biden world. What's the reaction to this? Well, they've gone scorched earth on KJP. Now, not one complaint. Not one complaint for all the time she was there. And now she's done one thing that disagrees with them, and they are going scorched earth. And I will say this to you, and I want you to think about this moment for a second. Because they don't come along all that often. Oftentimes, we will sit here and I will say, you know what? We said X, Y, and Z 5 years ago. And here we are in a period where X, Y, and Z has been proven correct. And the people at that time were saying the opposite. They're still in power, and they're just completely denying that we even said that. Now that everyone knows that X, Y, and Z are correct, we get no credit for this. And we're not going to get any credit for it today either, at least largely. But what I will say is we have entered the sunny uplands of history. We are there. It was promised to us oh so long ago. And here we are. We've come to the place where every mainstream media outlet now says the things that you said. Every mainstream media outlet tells you that, yeah, sure, Joe Biden was going downhill quickly. He was lost mentally. Remember how you said it for year after year after year after year? Well, they're now admitting it. They're now agreeing with you. Remember all the times we did monologues here and you agreed where we were saying, hey, how the hell did Karine Jean-Pierre even get this job? This is insanity. She's the worst press secretary I've ever seen in my entire life. She doesn't even seem to be able to reason through basic moments of her life. How does this woman order a salad when she goes out to lunch? She reads every single one of her answers directly from a book. How does she get through life? Are her shoes tied by somebody else? Maybe that's why she's wearing heels all the time. So she doesn't have to tie them. I don't know. And yet here we are, not that long later, and they are saying the exact same thing you have been saying. So cherish this moment. These moments don't come along often. And I will tell you this, it'll probably go away soon again. They'll deny once again that anything you said was true. But for this one brief moment, recognize what is going on. One former White House official who worked closely with Jean-Pierre told Axios, this is Alex Thompson's reporting, that she was one of the most ineffectual and unprepared people I've ever worked with. She had meltdowns after any interview that asked about a topic not sent over by producers. She didn't know how to manage a team, didn't know how to shape or deliver a message, and often created more problems than she solved, the official said. Didn't know, didn't know, didn't know. Yeah, because she's an idiot, which is what we were saying the entire time. She's a moron. She's stupid. She's all the things. It might not be nice to say these things, but these things are true. She was a moron and is a moron. And the fact that she had that job was inexplicable. I've said this before, but I think it's true. I think, number one, the reason why Jen Psaki left is she saw the decline coming in real time and wanted to get the hell out of there before she had to defend it, number one. Number two, I believe she installed KJP as her replacement to make her look good. I think this was all a plot by Jen Psaki to make her look good. Hey, who should replace me? I don't know, Joe. How about the dumbest person in the office? I mean, what evidence do I have of that? Not much other than eyeballs and ears. Okay? I think this is blatantly what happened. Because Jen Psaki wasn't that good. But comparison to this dope, she looks fantastic. And I swear that was her plan and plot the entire time. There's so much juice in here. Let me give it to you. Former Biden communications official threw more wood on the fire. The hubris of thinking you can position yourself as an outsider when you not only have enjoyed the perks of extreme proximity to power, which bestows the name recognition needed to sell books off your name, but have actively wielded it from the biggest pulpit there is as breathtaking as it is desperate. It's difficult to see how this is anything but a bizarre cash grab. I really hope the advance was good on the book. That I will say. The sales numbers, not so confident in those. I hope the advance was good, KJP. Another former White House official familiar with the dynamics told Axios, the amount of time that was spent coddling Karine Jean-Pierre and appeasing her was astronomical compared to our attention to actual matters of substance. Does that surprise anyone on Earth? No. We all knew she was a diva and a hell of a lot to deal with. At least, allegedly. Wasn't it fun, by the way, to be called a racist and a homophobe and anti-woman all this time when we said the exact same things that Democratic officials now say? Wasn't that fun? Did you have fun when that was going on? I know I had fun. I hope you had fun, too. A former senior spokesperson in Biden's administration said it's hard to believe someone could look at the past year and genuinely think the party left Joe Biden. That's why I'm leaving the Democratic Party. That point makes absolutely no sense. Only someone for soup for brains could come up with it. It's just absolutely unbelievable. This might be my favorite line in the entire article, though, again from Axios. A former White House communications official added, today, Karine lost the only constituency that ever supported her, party line Democrats. It's so true. The only argument for her was that she had a D after her name. I was on with Megyn Kelly today, and she said, well, she also had an L near her name, and, she was a woman, she was a lesbian, she was black, so she had those things. And that is 100% true. That was certainly part of the charm. But when you see those groups, when they don't have D's next to their names, when you happen to be a gay Republican or a black Republican or a female Republican, you get none of these perks. It's while that helps you, the real story is the D. And the only people supporting her were people who made decisions based on that party line, right? She's actually really good. Why? She's a Democrat. That's really all you have. Now that's gone. And now, of course, the second that that's gone, they turn on her because they don't really care that she's a lesbian. They don't really care that she's black. They don't really care that she's a woman. What they care about is the D. I think at the end of the day, that carries a lot more weight than all the other letters combined. All the LGBTQQIA 2+ stuff you can come up with never adds up to the D. Despite longstanding internal frustration, with Jean-Pierre's performance, how many times did we go over this? We kept saying, how can she possibly keep holding this job? Look at her every day. She's worse. I mean, Joe Biden had to decline. Hers, she started low. Jean-Pierre's performance since she took press secretary in mid-2022, Biden aides largely had stayed silent because she was seen as untouchable. Why? Given her close relationship with Jill Biden's top aide, Anthony Bernal, the center of almost all of this. All of these problems when it comes to the White House, the hiding of Biden's decline, KJP being held in power, all of these things surround this one guy, Anthony Bernal. Remember the name. It will be coming up in hearings soon. During Biden's presidency, Bernal had in hand many White House aides who were prioritized for their loyalty. Jean-Pierre was also causing internal drama by repeatedly blocking National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby from joining her at the White House podium, even when national security issues were at the forefront of the news. And this is a big problem, big controversy during the time KJP was there. Not because Kirby did anything wrong. Kirby was pretty competent, honestly. Now, he had a very difficult job. He was trying to defend positions that were indefensible, obviously, in the Biden administration, the way they were handling the world. But he was a pretty competent spokesperson. He knew what he was doing. He knew the topics at hand. He didn't have to read every answer. He had thought about these things in the past in his life, stuff that's completely unfamiliar to Corinne Jean-Pierre. And the Democrats were like, hey, KJP's really dumb. This is all behind the scenes. Hey, KJP's an idiot. We really can't get her to come out and talk about Gaza and Israel and Ukraine and Russia and our ridiculous pullout from Afghanistan. We put her out there. It's going to only get worse. Let's put John Kirby out there. That happened a few times. And everyone started noticing and saying, hey, notice how they won't even let her talk about this stuff. It's hilarious. Well, that created a pressure. Apparently, now we learned this from behind the scenes reporting, that made her push back against having Kirby there at all, which of course made all of the different briefings even worse. So that was a controversy, but not a shock. Some former Biden aides said Jean-Pierre's tenure was complicated by her work with the New York-based publicist Gilda Squire. Jean-Pierre was the focus of several magazine profiles and appeared on The View in New York. At one point, she wanted to appear on the show once a week. Think about that. She was spokesperson for the president of the United States, press secretary. And again, those are not the same roles. Press secretary is a role that answers to you. His campaign spokesperson answers to Biden. But the job of press secretary is a job that is supposed to speak to you and tell you what's going on. Hey, the president's really busy with this. Let me tell you what's going on so you know, you're informed. That's a job that they're supposed to answer to you. She never did that, of course. She wanted to go on The View once a week. And think about how pathetic you have to be so stupid that The View says no to you when you're a liberal, Democrat, black, lesbian spokesperson for the Democratic president. They're like, no, thank you. We don't really want her here once a week. Think of how dumb you have to be to not be able to get to the brain level to get on that show. Where, I mean, again, their central programming philosophy is to find the four dumbest people in America and put them at a table together. That's the whole thing. It's the whole plan. She didn't even fit into that. Within the White House, there were concerns about Squire, this is this press person, being looped in on internal emails regarding Jean-Pierre's profiles and promotional appearances. Concerns about Jean-Pierre's self-promotion were even raised with the White House counsel's office because some staffers felt torn between their administration duties and helping Jean-Pierre promote herself, according to former White House aides familiar with the internal dynamics. Jean-Pierre, however, did not respond to requests for comment. By the way, that whole thing with the publicist blew up even more after this story came out. Because Alex Thompson had emailed this particular press person and said, hey, I hear you're working with Corinne Jean-Pierre with this John Kirby thing. Like, what's going on with that? She denied it. Now we have emails that have come out later that she was working with Jean-Pierre at the time. Now, they were working on a little bit, you know, it was a Vogue profile, various levels of self-promotion. The email Alex sent was, hey, about the John Kirby thing. So maybe that's her little carve out there. But it was off the record. Very rarely does this happen. But Alex Thompson said, look, yeah, I went off the record with you, but you totally lied to me. And therefore, on the record is canceled. And he actually released the emails. So that's going to be very, very ugly. Brian Stelter, by the way, has a tweet. And, you know, you might say Brian Stelter might usually be friendly to the Democratic position. But someone like Corinne Jean-Pierre probably defended multiple times before. Not so much anymore. Former Biden press secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre announced a book titled Independent. But people aren't buying it. The book hasn't moved the needle on Amazon at all. This morning, it ranked 1,728,594. In books, 1,728,594 in books, which raises the question, who is the book for? Who's the audience? By the way, I don't know. I keep saying Corinne Jean-Pierre is the dumbest person in America. Whoever is releasing this book might be a little bit farther on that scale, because that's the thing. There really isn't a constituency for this book. You know, maybe outside of me, because I'm going to laugh really hard at it. But generally speaking, like the people on the right don't like her and aren't going to read this book. And the people on the left now can't stand her either. So who is she selling this book to? The people in the middle? I mean, I'm fascinated by third parties. I've done many monologues about them. I think it's a really interesting part of American culture, because usually they're really interesting, quirky people who get into these groups. And I like their stories. I've always found it fascinating. But like the American public does not really like third parties. They don't really care about them all that much. They don't really want to hear about them all that much. They don't want to vote for them because they always think it's a dead vote. So I don't know who is the constituency for this book. I cannot find it. I really can't. I will say we should buy it. We should all go out and buy the book, because we need to support Corinne Jean-Pierre's habit of changing outfits every single day. We've been talking about this for a couple years. Doesn't it seem weird that she gets a different outfit every day, never repeats an outfit in an entire time she was press secretary? Isn't that strange? I mean, I don't know. What is the outer limit of how many outfits you can have? She was there for multiple years. We did do a full investigation on that. It is called Enigma Files. Expose Corinne Jean-Pierre's dirty little secret. It's on YouTube. I don't know, it's 7 or 8 minutes, but it is really funny. We really did go back and look at all of her outfits, and she has never repeated one. So go watch that investigation. Share that with your friends. It's pretty funny, and I think you'll like it. All right, let's talk about the state. We got off Corinne Jean-Pierre. We know what she's doing isn't all that important, but we do have major industry problems going on in this country right now. We got fighting between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. That's become public now. It could be getting a little ugly for Tesla. The car, their stock's way down today. We'll talk about Tesla. We'll talk about Elon Musk. We'll talk about the car industry. We've got Lauren Fix coming to talk to us about that. Is the EV industry in collapse? We'll do that next. Your investments should work as hard as you do and align with the values you hold dear. I trust Constitution Wealth. They are a great group of people. They have they understand conservative values, unlike so many others. They have seasoned professionals that understand what it matters to be a conservative, to believe in the country, to be a patriotic person who cares about where their dollars go. What sets them apart? Well, unlike other financial advisors, Constitution Wealth specifically screens companies for their stance on conservative American values, ensuring that your money supports businesses that share your principles. Join the growing movement of Americans taking back control of financial impact that they have with their investments. Don't wait until your investments have already funded causes that you oppose. Take control of the future of America today with Constitution Wealth. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Get a free consultation. You really enjoy this. Really understand where your money is going and what you're supporting. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze. constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at constitutionwealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. This is a paid endorsement, and I am a client of the firm. My opinions, however, are my own. I am joined now by Lauren Fix, journalist and automotive expert from carcoachreports.com. Be sure to check it out when you have a moment. Lauren, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me. Yes, I'm excited to be back on.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you. You did a podcast with our friend, Paul Bryan, who passed away, unfortunately, recently. Yeah. And I was thinking about him this week because I'm reading the news. And, you know, we were seeing all this fallout from the electric car stuff, trying to push this on everybody. They're having all sorts of problems with it. And I'm reading a story about Cadillac and GM. And I remember talking to Paul, a car expert as well, who told me exactly that this was going to happen right around this time. The story is that GM is now investing in V8 engines as it backpedals on EVs. Now, I bought a car that was supposed to be the last V8 in this line from GM, thinking to myself, oh, well, I'm going to have the last one, and it would be great to have that. And then, of course, Paul was completely right, and this is exactly what they're doing.
Exactly. She did what I call the big U-turn. I mean, think about it. She was in some Wall Street Journal conference the other day saying, oh, electric cars are the future. I still believe in them 100%. But on the other side, she put $888 million into a plant here in Buffalo, New York, the Tonawanda engine facility, which is one of the original engine plants, and a total of $1.4 million into the Flint engine plant to build V8s, which they're having issues with. So I think they need to figure out their V8s and maybe reduce their electric vehicle footprint, because while they're continuing, four more products coming out, as I've been saying, and Paul did say as well, this is a disaster. I call it the future cash for clunkers.
Oh God, don't give me, you're giving me Obama era flashbacks with that term. Oh gosh. It's fascinating to see this because, I mean, that what cash for clunkers was a part of this sort of an early part of this movement, if you will. I remember Barack Obama saying he's going to put millions of electric vehicles on the streets. It took much longer than he predicted, but we do have a bunch of them now, largely due to Elon Musk and Tesla. Mm-hmm. But stepping back from Elon Musk and Tesla, who's, you know, obviously found the niche, although, you know, it's up and down from day to day as he's fighting with the president today. Yeah. But, you know, you look at like all these other companies that try to get on the same bandwagon, you know, everybody from Ford with some awful, you know, I just don't like it. This electric Mustang thing they tried to make.
Can't call it a Mustang. We'll never call it a Mustang. It is a Ford Mach-E. Great. It can look like a Mustang. But I even gave crap, shall I say, to one of the senior executives, you can call it whatever you want, but it's not a Mustang. I collect Mustangs, I restore Mustangs. Do not insult a brand that is a huge investment in your company. I don't get it from a marketing standpoint. It infuriates me.
Yeah. Lauren, go on. Before we get to this next question, go on this a little bit, because I've seen these things rolling around. They look like kind of like crossover SUVs. They look nothing like a Mustang would look. I mean, I can understand, you know, I really can't understand, but I can theoretically understand putting an electric, drivetrain in a Mustang that looks like a Mustang and saying, oh, here's another option. It's a totally different car. It looks awful. What were they thinking with that thing?
Oh, I actually spoke with one of the main designers, and he pulled me aside and said, you know, your name personally was mentioned in a Ford board meeting. And I went, really?
Uh-oh.
He says, because I have a large collection of vehicles all the way back to the 60s. That's most of my vehicles. And I have some newer ones as well, all V8. And he said, they knew people like you would not be satisfied with this. I said, it's an SUV. I said, what is your mindset on this? Just because you put a running horse on the front does not make it a Mustang. Just because you make the taillights similar does not make it a Mustang. And you're destroying your own brand credibility on that, because the customers that love those cars, the true enthusiasts from the Mustang Club of America, the Shelby Club, and all that, they're not going to buy that. Some will. But it has not been a great success for them. And he said, well, just like Porsche, which blew me away that he made this comparison. He said, well, the Cayenne's like a 911. I said, no, it's not. I own a Porsche Cayenne. It's my daily driver. And I own a 911. But they're not the same. And you just because they have the brand name is not, they're not calling it a 911 SUV. So it was a really poor brand study as far as I'm concerned. And they took a loss on everyone, just like they did on their F-150 Lightning truck.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's the thing that these companies are expected to do when, as they transfer to electric vehicles, just take losses on every one. I mean, what seems like maybe...
that makes
even,
no sense.
No, I know. I can't even believe we're asking for it. And why... I understand there's political pressure for them to agree to go down this road, and that can be tough. Mm-hmm. But, the way that they did it, I will never understand. Dodge has examples of this as well. The electric charger. I've been seeing... Tell me if this is just what I'm seeing on the internet, if this is real. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing these cars with MSRPs of $60,000 being offered at lots brand new for $35,000 and $40,000 because they cannot get rid of them. Is that accurate?
That is 100% correct. Tim Kaniskis, who's in charge of their RAM program today, announced that they're going to have the Hemi back. Wow. Because as he says, and as he quotes, people count cylinders. They don't count noise. And he's 100% correct. Want a loud exhaust, just like you do on your car. But I want it with V8. And so Stellantis has struggled. They have a new leader now, a new CEO. We'll see how they do. They have to understand the U.S. marketplace, which is apparently a challenge for Europeans. Because remember, we bailed out Stellantis, and then they sold it to FCA, which is Fiat Chrysler. And then they sold it to a company that's based in Belgium. So now we've got new ownership. Again, it's not a U.S. car company. Tesla and Ford and GM are the only three U.S. car companies. So if anyone misunderstands that. But they are being built here now, thanks to President Trump. But the electric ones just aren't selling. They're loud. A friend of mine has one, and he said he can't wait to get rid of it. And I said, then why did you buy it? He goes, I leased it, and I'm stuck with it for 3 years. And I went, should have asked me.
Mm-hmm. Wait, they're loud too? What do you mean they're loud? Are they just pumping
engine
noise? They
have speakers. Oh. No, they're put speakers inside the bumpers. So inside the car, you're getting it through the audio system. So it's piped through the audio. But out the back, unlike like a Hyundai Elantra N, where you're hearing it in the car, but standing outside, you don't hear anything. They decided that they wanted it loud because that's what Dodges are about, you know, this drag racing type community. And I actually owned a Dodge Demon before, the 170, before they left. That was a real engine with real engine noise. So they basically took the noise and put it into speakers, embedded it in the bumper. So when you rev the engine or the motor, it sounds like an engine. And it's ridiculous.
Oh,
I mean,
God. Everyone
at all the cars and coffee events and cruise nights are like, this is silly. It's like having a loud radio.
I didn't even know they did that. This is unbelievable. I just can't understand why they would go down this road. The market itself has not picked up like they expected. I mean, I think there's this thought that they get these things launched, eventually there'd be enough chargers around, meaning not the charger car, but like the actual chargers
the charging
for the vehicles.
Outlets, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there'd be
yeah.
enough of them. Eventually there'd be enough. And there are a lot with Tesla, I guess. And people would just be like, these are better. Like, we like these better and it's better technology. And now that we're over ourselves with the whole gas powered car thing, we're ready to move on to electric vehicles. That does not seem like that's happening. I mean, we saw a rise for a while with mainly people buying Teslas, and that the percentage of the market has flattened out. It doesn't seem like it's increasing. We're still at like 80% gas-powered vehicles, fully gas-powered vehicles.
It's higher than that,
it's
believe
higher.
It or not.
So is this over? Are they going to try something else? Where do we stand with this?
Well, Paul Bryan and I took a ton of heat for over 20 years. And he's smiling down on me now because he knows that I was very outspoken on national news about this is great for some people. If you want an electric car, go buy one. And you should never be limited on your options, whether it's gas, hybrid, diesel. I'm a huge diesel fan. If they had put a diesel in a in a car, which they do in Europe, they're amazing. But they don't do that here in the U.S. Again, Volkswagen screwed that up and the government got involved and everything else. But beyond that, the fact is you should have choices. And when you take millions and billions of dollars of our tax dollars and say you're going to put an infrastructure in, that doesn't make any sense to me for multiple standpoints. One, the infrastructure was from our tax dollars. So if you never purchased an electric car, you paid for it. Now, if you compare that to cell towers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they all put up cell towers, and then they worked agreements amongst themselves so that you would have cell service around the country. But not true with electric vehicles. Instead, they want us to pay for this. And that was all part of the Biden and Obama plan, was that we would take our tax dollars instead of putting them into roads and bridges, which I just posted an article on my site about how the bridges are falling apart. And thanks to Sean Duffy, they've come up with a few billion dollars, but there's still more needed to repair the roads and bridges. And now what? So this all never made sense. And when you purchase a Tesla, who still owns about 66% of the market share, if you want an electric car, typically people look at Tesla. Yes, there's Lucid and Rivian out there. How long will they last? We don't know. Some have gone out of business, like Bollinger and Fisker, millions of dollars. You know, it didn't make a lot of sense. What consumers want is whatever that may be. If your lifestyle is you want to travel, you want to go places, then gasoline's the way for you. If you live around town and you rent a car, you fly places, then an electric car could work perfectly for you. It doesn't fit my lifestyle because where I am up here in Western New York, there's minimal, if any, charging stations. But then they took the Tesla charging stations through what they call NACS. It's N-A-C-S, which means that all the other brands can now plug into it. So the benefit of owning a Tesla with the Tesla infrastructure is gone. And so now I can show up with a Hyundai, a GM, a Ford, whatever, and I can plug in. And now you show up with your Tesla, and that benefit disappears when there's six charging bays, and they're all filled with other cars, and you got to come back whenever if it works. And that has been a huge downfall. Plus, higher insurance, you got battery maintenance. And if you noticed yesterday in the news, which I'm really shocked mainstream media picked it up, there was a ship filled with electric vehicles that caught fire in the ocean, and they're just going to let it sit there and burn to the ground. Now it'll be the third one.
Wow, gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's not the first one. That's incredible.
Lauren, the third one.
Yeah, third one. Let me ask you one last one before I let you go. On Elon Musk, the news is plentiful on him. We're going to talk about it here in a little bit on the back and forth between him and Trump. Mm-hmm. What's fascinating about it from a company perspective, though, is like, you know, Elon built this thing saying, you know, he's a big global warming guy. He was talking about the environment all the time. Electric cars were the thing. And the left was buying them. Then he kind of converted and he's like, OK, well, I'm with Donald Trump. You know, he's, you know, emphasized this more conservative side. The left abandoned him. They started carving swastikas in the side of the cars and lighting the dealerships on fire.
Yeah.
If he gets into a fight with Donald Trump, what is left for Tesla? I feel like the people on the right that I know who bought Teslas because they loved how he was with Trump, they might not want that anymore. I mean, is this company going to make it with Elon at the head?
100%. And I'll tell you, so after President Trump made that statement, Elon Musk posted on X that he really didn't care about the EV tax credits. And I've reported on this. And the reason he doesn't care is at one point he was selling those carbon credits to car manufacturers that weren't making the EPA standards. Well, now that that's officially gone away, thanks to Lee Zeldin, now what? So now he doesn't need the carbon credits. He actually has figured out a way to profit with these vehicles, not a lot of profit. And sales are down, yes, but he still owns 66% of the market share. And now that he's left working side by side with President Trump, some of his followers have come back. Plus, he picked up a lot of people that were on the right because it's really not a political position when you own a Tesla. But what's also interesting is he's got the robo-taxi coming. I'm not the biggest fan of that. That's an amusement ride for me, so I'm out personally. But he's got robots coming. Everyone's going to have a personal robot, he says. Plus, he's got other product coming down the road. And they just revamped the Model Y, which is selling really well in other countries because it's an update to what looked exactly the same for years. I'm not too worried that he's going to make money. He's very smart. He knows how to use the government to his advantage, and he's the number one contractor for the Department of Defense. So I would not worry about him at all. He will never be eating a box of mac and cheese. So he will still be the richest man in the world. Oh. So I think this is all, this might be a good cop, bad cop with President Trump, but we'll see.
I'll say life without mac and cheese sounds terrible to me. That's just my personal stance on that. Lauren Fix, journalist and automotive expert from CarCoachReports.com. Be sure to check out her stuff there as well as on TheBlaze.com as well. There was I have the thing, we didn't get to it, why used cars are getting so expensive and what you can do about it. It's her latest piece there. Check that out as well. Lauren, thanks so much. It was great to have you on.
Thanks, Stu. I appreciate it.
Well, that escalated quickly. We were talking about doing, as we started taping this show on the early side today because of some scheduling conflicts, we started talking about this Trump-Elon Musk battle, and they've been going back and forth. And it's like, hey, well, you're spending too much on this bill. And Trump's like, I don't think he likes this bill too much, but he's wrong on it. And they're going back and forth, and there's some drama there. It started to escalate, and then nuclear bombs were dropped. Now, by the time you hear this, probably 10 more. This is what happens when nuclear war begins. And I mean, count your blessings. It was such a, it started off such a good day. Such a good day. Here we go. Because I will say, I had some hope for the Elon Musk thing in the Trump administration for a while. And, you know, I was really hopeful that he would utilize his kind of corporate vibes and go in there and clean things up a little bit in Washington, do what he could do. I did think it would end. I did think these two personalities with these giant egos would blow up at each other eventually. Okay, that I did think, did see was coming. To give you evidence to this, when all of this, when the election went by, Elon Musk was talking about coming in. I was on a group chat with my friends, and we were going back and forth, and we were saying, look, this sounds great. We're all really hopeful for what could happen out of this, but these two guys are going to wind up butting heads, and it's going to get ugly. How long? How long do you think this is going to last? We actually did a bet. And the bet was pick the day you think the breakup happens. And so we all blindly sent in a date. And my date was May 29th. Now, today is June 5th. May 29th, my 30th, so around the time you actually left, this is blown up. And let me give you the evidence of this because it is out of freaking control right now. First, Elon Musk, there's much more than this, but I'm just going to give you the highlights. Elon Musk says, tweets this, without me, Trump would have lost the election. Dems would control the House and the Republicans would be 51-49 in the Senate. Such ingratitude. He's pissed off that he doesn't get more thanks for what he did for Donald Trump. Okay, on that one. You could say anything to Donald Trump, right? You could say anything to the guy. People insult him all the time. They call him racist. They call him Nazis. They call him a pedophile. I actually used this example before this, and it's going to be germane in just a moment. You could call this guy a pedophile, and it would be better than calling him a guy who was not responsible for his own victory. Like, telling Donald Trump, you wouldn't have won without me, is the biggest insult you could possibly give to Donald Trump, okay? That is, I believe that to be true. Donald Trump then responds. He says, and this is escalating. He's getting pissed. This is the most, he said a couple things, like maybe he has Trump derangement syndrome, you know, stuff like that. Then he said this. This is the most direct thing. Elon was wearing thin. I asked him to leave. I took away his EV mandate that forced everyone to buy electric cars that nobody else wanted, that he knew for months I was going to do, and he just went crazy. So that's really started to escalate. Then right as we're about to begin this segment, this tweet drops from Elon Musk, and we have gone full out nuclear. Here it is. Time to drop a really big bomb. Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. Holy crap. That is the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, DJT. Holy crap. I don't think Elon Musk really likes this bill that much, and I think he's wrong about this bill. You're in the Epstein files. That's where we are. Holy crap. You want to talk about going nuclear beyond nuclear beyond nuclear. This is going to get really freaking ugly. And it sucks, man, because this would have been good for the country. Honestly, these two guys uniting for a long term thing would have been good for the country. This is unbelievable. I mean, I can't imagine Donald Trump is not going to sue him about this, among other things. And God only knows what he's going to say on Truth Social next. He's probably already said it by the time you're listening to this. The back and forth is going to be amazing. We'll cover it as much as we can. Maybe we'll even go live on YouTube or something to cover even more of it. Check it out there, and we'll be back here in just a second. I am looking live at my time at the Elon Musk tweet. You know how, like, when you watch Twitter and it'll be like 24 retweets, 26 retweets, 28 retweets. As I click on this, it's updating by the thousands. It's like 64,000, 68,000, 72,000. Like, it's just going up second by second with that many retweets. He did follow up. He said, mark this post for the future. The truth will come out. Trump has not responded as of yet, but that might be coming. Part of me thinks Donald Trump might not just take this lying down. Tesla stock is down 17% in the middle of this. And look, you know, Trump's going to make sure that he's going to do everything he can to make Elon Musk's life completely miserable, up to it, including something with Tesla. Don't be surprised by that at all. This is going to be a holy crap day for history books.